Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus now, and this is chapter 13. Let's all ask the Lord to bless the tape, to anoint it. Father, anoint this tape. Bless it, and bless us by opening our hearts and our spirits, the mind of our spirits, to receive this manna, this food, this drink that you've prepared for us before we were ever in our mother's womb, before even the foundation of the world. You knew the end. You knew of our presence here on earth at the very beginning, or even before that. So, Lord, give us the strength through it to walk in you, and you in us, both of us roommates together, us inside of our body and you inside of our body. It's now your temple, and it doesn't belong to us any longer. And we worship you inside this temple that is now yours. Lord, we do that, and we ask that you do all these things. We ask for all our needs for you to supply them, Lord, and to give us direction in the gifts of the Spirit. And Lord, more and more faith as we read your word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Lord, do this in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go.
Exodus chapter 13, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten.
Right, so the Lord, I want you to remember this, that the Lord delivered you. It wasn't a man, it wasn't an attorney, it wasn't a doctor, it wasn't anyone but the Lord. And so therefore I want you to dedicate all your firstborn unto me. They belong to me. And the reason for that is because of the fact that I killed the firstborn of all the people of Egypt, and you I left alive. So therefore, if I would have killed all of you, then there wouldn't even be any people of the firstborn in Israel. And so therefore, because you are still alive, you're alive because of that I let you be alive, you're mine now. You belong to me. What would you rather be, dead and in hell, or belong to me, is what he's saying. All right, continue on.
This day came ye out in the month Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Translation, verses 1 through 9. The dedication of the firstborn. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, Dedicate to me all the firstborn sons of Israel, and every firstborn animal. They are mine, end quote. So Moses said to the people, quote, This is a day to remember forever, the day you left Egypt, the place of your slavery. For the Lord has brought you out by his mighty power. Remember, you are not to use any yeast, and bracket.
Okay, this is the same thing as that. The Lord Jesus Christ has delivered you with his blood. He washed away all your sins, and he doesn't want you to sin anymore, because yeast is symbolic, or leaven is symbolic to sin, right?
Right.
No more sin. All right, then what else?
This day in early spring will be the anniversary of your Exodus. You must celebrate this day when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites. This is the land he swore to give to your ancestors, a land that is flowing with milk and honey. For 7 days you will eat only bread without yeast. Then on the seventh day you will celebrate a great feast to the Lord. Eat only bread without yeast during those 7 days. In fact, there must be no yeast in your houses or anywhere within the borders of your land during this time. During these festival days each year, you must explain to your children why you are celebrating. Say to them, "This is a celebration of what the Lord did for us when we left Egypt." This annual festival will be a visible reminder to you, like a mark branded on your hands or your forehead. Let it remind you always to keep the Lord's instructions in your minds and on your lips. After all, it was the Lord who rescued you from Egypt with great power. King James Version, verse 10. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee, and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, "What is this?" that thou shalt say unto him, "By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage." And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males. But all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, "Lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you." Translation, verses 10 through 19. Quote, "So celebrate this festival at the appointed time each year, and remember these instructions when the Lord brings you into the land he swore to give to your ancestors long ago, the land where the Canaanites are now living. All the firstborn sons and firstborn male animals must be presented to the Lord. A firstborn male donkey may be redeemed from the Lord by presenting a lamb in its place. But if you decide not to make the exchange, the donkey must be killed by breaking its neck. However, you must redeem every firstborn son. And, quote, and in the future, your children will ask you, quote, what does all this mean? Then you will tell them, with mighty power, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from our slavery. Pharaoh refused to let us go, so the Lord killed all the firstborn males throughout the land of Egypt, both people and animals. That is why we now offer all the firstborn males to the Lord, except that the firstborn sons are always redeemed. Again I say, this ceremony will be like a mark branded on your hands or your forehead. It is a visible reminder that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt with great power. Unquote. Israel's wilderness detour. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them on the road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest way from Egypt to the Promised Land. God said, quote, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt, unquote. So God led them along a route through the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites left Egypt like a marching army. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear that they would take his bones with them when God led them out of Egypt, as he was sure God would. King James Version, verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Translation verses 20 through 22. Leaving Succoth, they camped at Ethan on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. That way they could travel whether it was day or night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from their sight. That was the last verse.
Right. So just go ahead now with the commentary.
13, verse 2. Quote, dedicate to me all the firstborn sons of Israel, and every firstborn animal, they are mine. Unquote. The firstborn sons belong to God in a very special way, because he spared them in Egypt. They were to be as the first fruit offering to God. See verses 11 through 16.
Okay, you can just let them read it. Now, right, the very firstborn, because he killed all the Egyptians' firstborn and kept them alive. So that was, he let them live, all right, because they're his chosen people. All right, then what?
13, verse 10. Quote, so celebrate this festival at the appointed time each year.
And it is quite a festival when your firstborn son is still alive, amen?
Amen.
And all your firstborn, your strength is still alive. All of Egypt's strength was gone. Okay, then what else?
A liturgical elaboration and reminder of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 13, verse 9 and 16. Verse 9, quote, this annual festival will be a visible reminder to you, like a mark branded on your hands or your forehead. Let it remind you always to keep the Lord's instructions in your minds and on your lips. After all, it was the Lord who rescued you from Egypt with great power. Unquote. Verse 16, quote, again I say, this ceremony will be like a mark branded on your hands or your forehead. It is a visible reminder that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt with great power. unquote.
Right, so the Lord is the same as like dropping a hydrogen bomb on one area, and only the Egyptian's firstborn died, and all of Israel's firstborn lived. And that's something to be thankful for, unless you're so hardened that you can't understand that. So he says, if I kept them alive, then they're mine. And the same thing with all the animals, the firstborn male of all the animals, that's mine. Okay, so in case you don't know which ones to sacrifice, just think back when these animals were born. Amen, and pick the firstborn. Then what else?
The latter Jewish practice of wearing phylacteries while praying is based on these verses.
Phylacteries are the same things that they used on me when I was at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. They're these little square leather boxes, and they got long cords on them and everything, and they put one on my lips. I kissed it, kissed it. And then they put one on my forehead. I said, I'm not getting that out of here. I don't even know telling how many people had that on their lips, you know. It's very sickening. And they're like very zealous rabbis over there, but they're dead in their sins and in their trespasses. And so I knew the Lord a million times better than they did. Amen. And they're having me kiss these, they just shoved it on your mouth. They're very like presumptuous, brutish type people. If I was unsaved, I probably would have decked them. But yeah, I felt sorry for them because I knew they're not saved. And I just says, all right, no, that isn't what you're supposed to do, but they didn't speak good English, all right? And then what else? They knew I was Jewish. They said, you're a Jew, you're a Jew. And I said, how can you people tell I'm a Jew? He says, your face looks Jewish, you know, we know you're a Jew. Okay, then what else?
Phylacteries are two small leather boxes attached by leather straps.
Inside those boxes is scriptures. Certain scriptures, they have it real tiny. You couldn't read it. And with my eyes, I couldn't read it, that's for sure. Okay, then what else? It's just like a little prize inside of a jack-in-a-box or something. You know, but they've got scriptures in there, which are not, that's nice, but it's not scriptural, all right? Like when they say, tie the Word of God around you, your arms and everything, they start wrapping. The Word of God is written on some of these pieces of leather and stuff, and they start wrapping them around you too, and around your head and everything. You wonder God, if they're going to lynch you or something with these things. They're just little fine pieces of leather. You've seen them before, haven't you, Sharon?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, well, then what else?
Phylacteries are two small leather boxes attached by leather straps, like rawhide, one to the left hand and one to the forehead of an Israelite. Inside these phylacteries, they contain Bible scriptures, passages of the law.
Yeah, from Leviticus or Exodus or Deuteronomy. And what else?
13:18, quote, so God led them along a route through the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites left Egypt like a marching army, unquote. The Red Sea, or, quote, the Sea of Reeds, R-E-E-D-S, unquote.
R-E-E-D-S. Right. The Sea of Reeds. Okay, then what?
Is a narrow body of water that stretches about 1,300 miles from Suez to the Gulf of Aden. It has depths up to 9,500 feet.
It's 9,500 feet deep. That's deep. Amen?
Amen.
Deeper than most people's swimming pools, only goes down 12 feet, right? All right, then what else?
This would have been a southeasterly turn. Orderly ranks meant that they were organized and in fighting formation. God's people were not disorganized and panic-stricken, fleeing for their lives. 13:19, quote, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear that they would take his bones with them when God led them out of Egypt, as he was sure God would, unquote. The bones of Joseph were carried out of Egypt, fulfilling Genesis 50:25-26. Quote, and Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Unquote. 13 verses 1 through 2 and 11 through 16. The consecration of the firstborn sons of Israel. See also chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. Quote, thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam. On the eighth day thou shalt give it me. Unquote. The consecration of the firstborn sons of Israel points to the important position of the firstborn in family dynamics. Since God had spared the lives of the firstborn sons of Israel during the Passover, in a very real sense, they all belonged to him. As a result, the Israelites had to sacrifice a lamb to buy their firstborn sons back from God. All of our children must be viewed as being, quote, on loan from the Lord, unquote.
Right, they don't belong to us. Everybody belongs to the Lord. But the Lord loans them to us to see what we'll do with them, that he wants to see if we're going to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He's just testing people all the time. So if you do it, that's fine. Very good. If you don't, that's not good at all. So don't say or ever listen to anyone that says that the Lord loves you unconditionally. If you don't raise your children right, he is going to hate you, because God hates. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. He didn't care anything about the Lord or what he had to say or any of his blessings. And the Lord says that he hates the workers of iniquity, those unrepentant ones, and he hates the works of the devil. And so everything with the Lord is conditional. Not, oh, you know, you hear this person from out in Atlanta, Georgia, and all kinds of ministers say, the Lord, well, you all know, the Lord knows that we're not perfect, and he just loves you unconditionally. First of all, he commands us to be perfect, and if we're walking in the Spirit, we are. And he wants us to be holy, and if we're walking in the Spirit, we are. And he says, you are my friend, if... So there's a conditional right there. It's if you do whatsoever I tell you, all right? But if you don't, I don't love you. God loves those that love him and keep his commandments, that fear him and keep his commandments. So if you don't believe that, well, then quit listening to these false prophets that you're listening to. Open up the dust the Bible off your Bible and then read it for yourself. These false prophets, Satan's, quote, angels of light, appearing as angels of light, deceives you because you don't know the Bible. And you listen to them and you'll say, well, Lord, at the judgment bar, you know, they told me this and they told me that. And the Lord says, your soul wasn't important enough to you for you to search out my word to see what you're supposed to do and not do. You'd rather just listen to somebody. Even Tony Alamo tells you, don't just listen to him, read the Bible to see if I'm telling you the truth. And many other people tell you the same thing. It's in the Bible. And the Bible is the infallible word of God. And so you can't get by with that. If you prefer looking at movies rather than reading the word of God, well, then that shows the Lord that you don't care anything about your soul. You don't care if you live or die or where you go after you die. And that's just tragic, because after you die, you're more aware than you've ever been before in your entire life. If you spend eternity in heaven, it's going to be like unexplainable bliss. But if you don't, it's going to be unexplainable torture. You're going to not like it. Okay, go ahead.
All of our children must be viewed as being, quote, on loan from the Lord, unquote, from God. The public dedication of our children to God is a helpful tradition, reminding us of this fact. When parents recognize this truth, they are well on their way toward raising children with healthy, accurate self-energies. 13 verse 18, quote, "So God led them along a route through the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites left Egypt like a marching army," unquote. Swinging southeast to the Red Sea was not the fastest route from Egypt to the Promised Land, but it was the route that God chose for the Israelites to follow.
And he doesn't always make you go the shortest way. Sometimes the shortest way would be the very way that would annihilate you, so he'll have you go the longest way. I know that on purpose, when I'm going someplace, I'll go an extra 100 miles because I want to use the freeway, because it's safer, the way I see it, all right? That's my, you know, the way that the Lord has made me believe. And if you want to go down a two-lane highway, one lane coming your way and you going the other way, there are too many deaths that way, and I don't want to tempt the Lord. So I'll go spend an extra hour or even 2 hours on the freeway to get to where I want to go, because I have more belief or faith that I'll get there in one piece than I would if I went down just a two-lane highway. Okay, so it's longer, but it's better. And this is what the Lord did here. Okay, because he knew it was going to take him 40 years anyway. It wouldn't have taken just a very short period of time to get to where they were going if they wouldn't have been afraid of the giants and gave an ill report of the land of milk and honey. All right, go ahead.
The shortest route between two points is not always the best. God's will often calls us to take the more scenic routes. Though longer and sometimes harder, these are often God's means of taking us through the next step in the recovery process, the maturing process. In the Israelites' case, they were given the opportunity to see God overcome a huge obstacle, the Red Sea. This gave them additional fuel for their faith, building their courage for the journey ahead. It also helped them avoid dangers in the land of the Philistines that they were not yet prepared to face. 13 verse 21 through 22, quote, "The Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. That way they could travel, whether it was day or night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire from their sight," unquote. God guided his people out of slavery into a new life of freedom and responsibility by his visible presence in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, too. He led them to recover the promises he had given their ancestors, Abraham, centuries earlier. When we are committed to God, we too can count on his leading us. He has sent his Holy Spirit to direct us. Galatians 5:18. Quote, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law," unquote.
That's a big if. That's a condition. The Lord loves you unconditionally? No. He loves you if you're led by the Spirit. If you're led by your flesh, he has no love for you. He has patience and tries to instruct you into a position of love, or he'll chasten you with some tough love for you to get right with him. If he has to, he'll put your head right through the sheetrock, the studs, and the wires, all right, to get out of you, to save your soul. If you think that's wrong, well, you're wrong. All right, then what else?
He has sent his Holy Spirit to direct us and has promised to never fail us or forsake us.
Well, so long as we do, if we do whatsoever he says, then he'll be our friend that way. So that right there, and so many, all the scriptures say, he does not love us unconditionally. It's upon the condition, if we do what he says, then he loves us. But there's no love from God, with the exception is that he rebukes, reproves, and he'll put you through some real bad sickness, disease, illness, or take somebody away from you that you love. Or he'll do something. He knows just what to do. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he'll tailor-make something for you. You'll get a real custom tailored design that'll put you through so much that you'll finally come to your senses, hopefully. And if you don't, then he'll just take you out into eternity. Then what?
Hebrews 13:5, quote, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," unquote.
Yeah, he never leaves or forsakes people, but you leave, and you know, people, many people have left and forsaken him. And so if you leave him and forsake him, he leaves and forsakes you. I mean, he just turns his back on you. He says, "Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. Turn your back on me, and I'll turn my back on you." He actually even says, if you sin after you've been saved, he says he'll lift his spirit from you, that he won't hear you anymore. You'll call on him in a time of trouble, and he won't hear. He won't answer you. And then you'll be all by yourself. He will not be your roommate. He will not want a body, an unruly body, to be a vessel that he lives in. He wants to live in a body that is very totally submissive unto his will, unto his purpose, unto his desires, the things that the Lord wants. And if you just don't even think about doing that, your thoughts are not with the Lord all day long, then he has no use for you. How would he love somebody like that? Would you love somebody if you sent them to the store to pick up something that you want to eat, and instead they come back with a pail full of rocks, or they don't even come back? Would you love somebody like that?
No.
If you hired somebody and you were paying them good money, I don't think you'd want to pay them money anymore. If you're very tolerant, you might give them another chance or two. But some people sin against the Lord every day. And then if they don't do right, you just get rid of them, you fire them. Put an end to the relationship between you and them. So that's the way the Lord is. This everything with him is conditional. Don't ever let anybody tell you that the Lord just loves you unconditionally. He says love, 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 love. When he brags about being a terrorist, and when he brags about being going to pour out his wrath upon all the disobedient people, his fiery indignation, his anger upon people. And when he does that, you cannot escape it. He could destroy the whole world, and he will be able to save those that are in it that are obedient to him. Okay, what else? That was it? All right, that's all she wrote. That's all we wrote. And that was chapter 13, the book of Exodus, and we'll be working on chapter 14 today, later on this evening, or in the morning. And until then, keep concentrating on the Lord. Meditate on him both day and night, so that you can be strong as trees that are planted near the water. Bless the Lord with all your heart and soul. Keep your mind on him. And praise the Lord. The Lord love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.